The Lord has come. The story of the birth of Jesus, I think to all of us, may be old. It's 2,000 years old, but it's ever new. And people never get tired of hearing, especially Christian folks, about the fact that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin 2,000 years ago. As weak as a baby is a common term that could not be applied to the baby Jesus. You see, as a baby, humanly speaking, he was weak, but also he was the center of power. As far as heaven was concerned, he was the omnipotent one. He has all power, and he came born of a virgin, came as a baby into this world, born in a manger, such a lowly birth. But he came and he condescended in order that we might be able to become the sons and the daughters of God. And so we rejoice about Christmas. We rejoice in the fact that he loved us enough that he was willing to leave heaven's glory and come down to dwell among us, to live for 33 years without sin and make atonement for the sins of the world on the cross of Calvary. You see, his birth drew Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. They had traveled some 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem in order to fulfill God's word. It is amazing how that God used the Romans and Caesar Augustus to set a time for taxation at just the right time. For the Christ child to be born as the prophets in the Old Testament had prophesied in Bethlehem of Judah, that he would be born. And all of this does is simply remind us that every prophecy in the Bible has come to pass, or it's going to come to pass, just as the way God said it. And it reminds us of the fact that his first coming was prophesied. His second coming is prophesied. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word, it simply meant that her life would from that point on be a simple fulfillment of prophecy. She said, Lord, my life is in your hand. Direct me in the paths that you would have me to go. The Lord promised that the Savior would be human, not an angel, in Genesis 3:15 and Hebrews 2:16. And a Jew and not a Gentile in Genesis chapter 12. And he would be from the tribe of Judah, it said in Genesis 49 and 10. And he would be of the family of David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And he would be born of a virgin, Isaiah says in Isaiah 7:14. And he would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David, in Micah 5 chapter 2. You see, all of this was prophesied. And when Jesus was born, it happened just the way God said it was going to happen. And you know, I'm convinced today that a lot of folks don't really believe the Bible is true. They're not really concerned about what it has to say for their life. But I'm here to tell you one reason, one way that we can know that the Bible is true is prophecy. Whatever he said in the Old Testament, the prophets prophesied, it's all coming to pass. And that which has not come to pass yet will come. You just mark it down. And so we need to understand that God in his word wants us to be prepared for the time when he comes back again the second time. Well, the first announcement was given of the Messiah's birth by the angel to the shepherds. And Jesus came as a good shepherd, and he came as the Lamb of God, sacrificed for the sins of all the world. It was fitting that he would come to the shepherds because he was the chief shepherd. He is the one that makes atonement for the sins of all the world, doing for us what nobody else could do. He's the one that died upon the cross of Calvary for us. Well, the baby came to the inn. Mama and Dad came to the inn for the baby to be born and to be taxed. And they came to the inn to seek lodging only to hear, "No room here. No room here." But he saw the condition that Mary was in and had compassion. He said, "There's a barn out here. There's a stable that you can use. You can spend the night there." And while she was there, the Christ was born. God chose this particular time to enter into the world, and we call it the fullness of time. It was the best of times because he came to die upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. No room. I wonder this morning, do you have room for him in your life? Have you made room for him in your life? I came across this little saying from Tony Evans. It says, "Church is like a hospital. It's where people who are sick, broken, bruised, beaten, and battered with life because of sin and unrighteousness come for help." And it's okay if you're here today and don't have it all together in life. If you had it all together, maybe you wouldn't need to be here. However, hospitals do not tolerate sick people hanging around who don't want to get better. No doctor is going to keep fooling with a patient who won't take the medicine and won't accept a needle, but wants to accept and occupy a room. What would you think if someone said, "Look, I know I'm sick. I've decided to stay sick because I just like this hospital. I'm going to put my name on the door of this room." And if you've been there very long, you probably thought you had your name on it. "I'm going to live here for a while." You would condemn such a person for a misuse of the hospital because a hospital only exists to give life. And that is what the church does. Just as people are born and they go to a hospital to get equipped to live, you're born again to come into the house of God and go out to serve and minister for him. I want to tell you this morning that 2019, it's almost in the record books, isn't it? It's almost history. And we look ahead, we say 2020, when I was young, I never thought I'd live to be here in 2020. But in 2020, we need to make commitments to God as though it'll be the last commitments that we've ever made, that we'll ever make. Because I'm convinced that we don't have a long time to live on the face of this earth. And whatever we do, we need to do quickly. But make up your mind that this year I'm going to put everything else aside. I'm going to dedicate my life. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to make 2020 the greatest year that we've ever had. Because 2020 may be the last year that we'll ever have. I challenge you to do that. A father lay dying. He had his family all around him. He only had a few moments to live. And he came to his four children. He said, "Good night, John. Good night, Butch. Good night, Betty. Goodbye, Ralph." Ralph said, "Daddy, you said good night to the rest of the family, but goodbye to me, I don't understand." He said, "Well, they're Christians. I'll see them again in heaven. But you're not a Christian. And so I said goodbye. Wouldn't that be sad to hear the words goodbye? Goodbye. Goodbye. One of these days, we're going to come to the last breath of our life. We're going to come to the end of life's journey one of these days. And I'm telling you, it can be any day. It doesn't have to be something that's way off or you think, well, it won't happen anytime soon. I'm telling you, you don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm going to tell you, it's appointed unto a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. It's appointed. On the docket, there's your name, and you've got a date. And I'm telling you, you're not going to get away from that date. Jesus said, I'm knocking at the door of your heart. I want entrance into your life. And he reaches out to you and says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you life and I'll give you rest. If we'll just turn to him, 2019, the last part of it, can be the best year of our life. Looking forward to 2020 being even better because he's King and Lord of our lives. Is he Lord of your life? He came to save you. Doesn't cost you a dime. He wants you to be saved, and he'll save you this morning. That's the good news. Bow with me.